This is a Defiantly Me production.
Hello and welcome to the Homework Podcast. I'm Joy Andrews. I used to work in corporate America, and now I'm an acupuncturist, a feng shui and astrology practitioner as well.
Hi, I'm Charlene Turner Bryan, HR executive, and this podcast is my outlet of 30 years of wisdom and experience in the world of work. How are you, Joy?
I'm so good, Charlene. So glad to be here talking with you, hashing out all the world's topics.
I tell you, is there enough going on in this world for us to talk about for like eons, right?
I know. What
we try to do here at the Homework Podcast is really make those connections, if you will, between mind, body, and the workplace. And, you know, there's a lot of topics out there that are affecting the workplace that you've seen, you've in the headlines, Joy, you've read, you probably had clients come in with effects from them. And so one topic I want us to kind of dive into now, we're going to caveat this going into, we're not DEI professionals, okay? But we're going to talk about this topic of DEI and particularly how it's showing up and how it's affecting people, right? At some other show, we may have somebody on who's a DEI professional that can talk about, you know, the whole, you know, the reasons why. But let's kind of talk, let's go into this topic because it is so prevalent, it's so in the news, and we see the impact of, you know, companies pulling back and, you know, decrying, hey, I'm no longer supporting DEI. And it brings up in your head a lot of ideas of like, why, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one I could think of right off the bat is the fact that the administration has made a declaration on it, right? And because a lot of these corporate companies are federal contractors that get federal dollars, right? That part of this, I feel it's financially and capitalistic driven,
right?
On one side, where a company, and we won't say their name, but a company that, you know, has a bullseye, right? That has received so much backlash, so much consumer backlash for what they have done. So, what are you thinking, Joy, in terms of, you know, what's happening with people who are in this DEI conundrum, right? Kind of, you know, we were down the path, we were making a lot of good progress, we were making the workplace where people felt comfortable. Everyone had equal opportunities. You know, people could be themselves, bring their whole gifts and talents and skills to a job and not feel like they have to assimilate or have to come in cookie cutter, you know, talk this way, dress this way, think this way, act this way, so that innovation and creativity that the community brings have made some wonderful products, you know, for us mm-hmm. to achieve. And now we're seeing that kind of retreating.
Yeah, it did feel like progress. I was working at a nonprofit a couple years ago and helping in the recruitment process. And I saw that firsthand of how the employees and potential employees were driving the process of creativity. You know, they were really bringing new ideas to the table. Their resumes were full of innovative ideas, and the conversations that they had in the interview process were really demanding that we improve our expectations, that we broaden our inclusiveness, that we improve our standards that we were having for employees across the board. And that was really exciting. It was pushing the organization into a place of growth and evolving and stepping into this new era. It really did feel like progress. And that was just a few short, you know, months ago, it seems like. And now this feels like a setback to me. I'm concerned about the workplaces, about what this means for them in terms of their growth too. I think that it is feeling like an immune system. It feels like a collective immune system, like a body. It feels like the body heals and then it has also setbacks. The body heals and then it has setbacks, heals and then setbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, we have cold and flu season. We go through seasons of illness. And I think we do that as a country. I think we do it as an economy. I think we do it as a globe. I feel like we have seasons of progress and then we have setbacks in terms of our economy, in terms of our growing of our consciousness. I feel like we feel colds and flus as a country. And it feels like it's a test of the progress that was starting to happen here. Because we have not fully made progress. We didn't fully break through all the ceilings. We didn't fully create equanimity across the board. We were getting there, but it hadn't been, you know, we hadn't checked the box of, okay, we nailed it. Now we're equal. Now we're good to go. We were just starting to get there. And now this feels like a colder flu to me collectively in terms of hiring practices. And to me, it's in a sense, what a cold and flu does to the body is, first of all, it humbles you. It brings you to your knees. It brings you close to mortality. You don't know if you're going to live. You don't know if you're going to make it through it. And then when you do get through the other side, you are stronger. You are healthier. It's actually good for the immune system to have a challenge like this. And so I think it's actually good for our progress as a country to have a little bit of progress and then get a ping to the immune system because it really challenges, did we make that decision authentically to try and progress, or was that also made out of fear or pressures? You know, like people, like you're saying, these big brands are making decisions based on money, based on capitalism, what's going to make them the biggest buck. And I think some of the decisions before to even progress towards DEI were also made out of fear and not really authentically. You know, they were trying to check a box. And so I think this is actually a good, there's a good reckoning because some people have now tried both and now they're seeing the consequences of not actually making the decision authentically. You know, like I was reading a headline the other day of the accounting firms in the US, the accounting industry needs more people in general, and they can't recruit enough people. And the industry is primarily white, and they need diversity because they just straight need more people in the industry. And so they're now having an issue because they can't recruit enough people into the accounting industry. And so their lack of DEI is actually a hindrance because people who want to enter the industry are like, I'm not really seeing safety practices. I'm not really seeing opportunity for me here. And so it's hindering industry. And I think that's the trend that we're going to see is, are our choices for DEI, they're not just about diversity. They're about humanity. We actually need all humans coming to the table to collaborate. And so we have to allow for more of that. And so it feels like a little bit of a hindrance right now. And I am hoping and praying and trusting that we've got to break through this and come out the other side.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you talk about the accounting industry with AI, and, you know, I've talked to several brokers that are using AI. They're saying, hey, we're not going to need as many people because, you know, AI is going to be able to do their work, right? And so their answer is, I don't have to worry about DEI, you know, because AI is going to take over a lot of people's jobs. Well, you know, a lot of people's jobs mean a lot of people, regardless of what your race is. And so we have to really think about what I'm thinking about and what I'm hearing, where companies, you know, people that I know that are working for companies where they've had to go in and scrub their website and remove all references DEI. You know, I think what it has done, quite frankly, is made people focus on that piece that we've been talking about, the I piece, right? The inclusion piece, right? How do we make people feel included? How do we make people feel belong in this company? How do we bring the talent into the organization, but let them feel like they are part of the organization? I'm seeing a lot of repurposing of DEI to be more of inclusion, belonging, respect, you know, that human collective. And you're right, Joy. I love the analogy of the cold and the flu, and you know, have to sit down because you know you get a bad flu, you're going to be laid up for a couple of days. And what do you have to do? There's so much things you can read. There's so much TV you can watch. But then you go into your psyche and you go into the human brain and you go, wow, you know, and start reflecting. And I'm hoping that companies are reflecting in this moment right now. Whether it was because they don't want to lose federal contracting dollars, whether to your point, they did it just to check a box, that they really thought it was just, okay, we got to comply and really didn't mean it, that there's a reflection that's happening in this very moment. Because I believe this next generation of the workforce coming in, you got to remember the things that they have come through, school shootings, right? Protesting. Working in multicultural collaborations and teams, they're not going to really buy into, I got to check who I am authentically at the door before I go into this workplace. Because if that's right. The case, then you want people to be machines and you want them to have the group thinking. We won't have the innovation. And, you know, you take this at a macro level as a country, because we are wrestling with this same issue that's been a cyclical pattern really in this country. There's global migration happening everywhere, you know, in Europe and other places where people, because of scarcity of resources that are having to move, that they're really kind of going to be diverse. If they didn't want to be diverse, they're going to be diverse anyway, because people are seeking opportunity, seeking where they can contribute, seeking where they could belong. And I love the fact that when I went to Vancouver, it was so diverse and it felt so harmonious. I know every place has its ills. I'm not looking through everything with rose-colored glasses, but I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, the Middle Eastern here are being discriminated against, or the Black people here are being discriminated against. You know, of course it's going to happen because it's human nature, but I didn't sense it or feel it. I felt like, you know what, this is a cosmopolitan of different cultures, which made the city feel rich, which gave me opportunity for experiences that were authentic and natural and human. And I think that's the piece that I feel is trying to be stripped away, is this human aspect of, we are a collective.
Yeah.
We are diverse. And I was in, yesterday I was at, I go to AquaFit now, Joy. So I'm moving my body in the water like I want to move it on land.
Love
so
it.
I'm running in the water.
Love it.
And I'm jogging in the water. And my class is mixed. Middle Easterns, you know, Hispanics. And we go into the sauna. This is like, we work out hard and then we go into a sauna. And there's this new lady, she was trying to pronounce this woman's name. And she said, where are you from? Where are you from? And she named a country. And we asked her, what's your name? And she said, my name is hard. I have a hard first name and I have a hard last name. And we said, well, go ahead. We'll try it out. We'll see if we can catch on. And it really was hard. I mean, you talk about, she had like 26 letters, not 26 letters, at least 15 letters in her first name. And then her last name had at least 17 or 18. So we were like, okay, we got it. And she said, you know, what's beautiful about this country is that we have all this culture and all this ethnicity here. But at the base of it, we all are humans.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get to the fact that we're all humans and stop trying to oppress humans
Right. And I think that this is an opportunity for organizations to step up and offer that, because we were talking about in a previous podcast about people are leaving their jobs if they don't feel aligned to it. And yes. So that I feel like this is allowing an opportunity for some organizations to say, no, we actually do choose this. We actually do want to promote inclusion. And so that's going to have them step up. And so people can easily seek out those organizations easier, because mm-hmm. there's less of that, the people who were falsely checking the box, so to speak. And so if they're going out of their way to say, no, this is what we're about, then that's good for their recruitment, for the workforce to go up and say, okay, now I understand what you're about. I want to be part of that too. I'm aligned with what you're talking right. about. So the younger workforce, like what you're talking about, all the people who are already not wanting to gatekeep who they are in the world, and who are wanting a more collaborative, cosmopolitan feel, you know, that inclusivity, it's going to be easier to sniff out who you're more aligned with.
It's so true. And even if they don't proclaim it out, you know, from a brand, like put our brand out, it was interesting, just, you know, because, you know, this month is Pride Month, right? And it used to be you saw flags everywhere and, you know, everybody was celebrating and everybody was on the bandwagon. Yeah, because they want to sell their goods probably. But I was at Costco and there was a guy who had a wristband on. He was selling the pop-up tents. And I said, I am so glad you are representing. And he said, I am not going to let somebody dictate to me who I am, mm-hmm. who I want to show up in this world. And you know me, I gravitate to listening to stories and talking to people. And it's the humanity piece that I'm seeing more and more, that if companies get that right, they'll have a leading workforce. They'll have a leading industry, or they'll have a leading company. It's because how you treat people matter. And it really does. And I'm seeing it with this next generation where, you know, they're like, I'm not sure how I want to go work for that company. And it's all on social media. It's everything's out there. And so people have knowledge of what companies are really being authentic and others that aren't. And so we really need to kind of go back to the story of, you know, we want you here because we value you. You have worth. You have skills and talent and abilities that can help us get to our goal. And if we lean in and put our biases aside, and it's not necessarily always the bias of you and Joy, you and I don't look alike, right? But the beauty of the fact that you and I don't look alike is we can sit here and have a conversation because we're not focused on the color of our skin. We have connected human to human. And so we can have these beautiful conversations, and we can have this podcast because we're doing that. It's connecting human to human, heart to heart, mind to mind, really enjoying the what you bring to the table. The reason why, from the first time I met you, Joy, there was you, what you brought to the table, what you brought to health, what you brought to acupuncture was something that just leveled the playing field for everyone. It didn't matter. You didn't treat me differently because I was a African-American woman or, you know, or this or that, or an executive. It didn't matter. You looked at me for, how can I make you well? How can I make you feel the best you can be? So I look at that saying, what could possibly be if the companies that we work for or we want to recruit for have that mindset? Genuinely.
Right.
Genuinely.
Genuinely. Right.
Authentically.
And right. And the folks that I see in the treatment room, I see both sides of the coin, you know, that this is building the workforce that we want to live into. And people want to increasingly work for companies that they don't feel like they're dying at. You know, they don't want to feel crushed, soul crushed or physically crushed by their jobs mm-hmm. as much as possible anymore, okay. you know? And so I find that people feel that fear of getting crushed, or that fear of somebody dictating who they're supposed to be in the workplace. You know, I see that all the time in the treatment room of people showing up. It shows up in the shoulders a lot. There's that worth, self-worth heaviness mm-hmm. in the shoulders. There's a lot of tightness in the shoulders. And there's a lot of spinal stuff, the neck, the low back, tightness in the back. And the back, the spine has to do with our spine, right? So our ability to stand up for ourselves, our courage, our tenacity mm-hmm. to be who we're going to be. Am I going to be who I'm going to be?
Right.
And so a lot of people, if they are scared for their life, quote unquote, or they feel like they can't really fully express themselves at work, or they feel like they have to limit themselves in order to get a job, or limit themselves in order to keep doing their job. I know, like you said, a lot of people have had to like scrub their experience or hide their experience or take down their experience from website pages. And so there's a little bit of like this holding pattern that happens in the body when that happens. It tightens up the shoulders and the back. So I see my work as like when you came in, you know, really relaxing that, mm-hmm. the shoulders, the spine, opening up the chest when it's like caving in on itself to try to protect the heart. If you can release the body in that way, then somebody can open up slightly, relax slightly, even if it's temporarily, and ease into their own skin, feel more comfortable in their own skin. And from that place, their full expression can come back up and come back out. And from there, they can make choices about companies they want to align with, or they want to build a team that they want to improve that feeling of inclusivity with, you know?
Absolutely. Because when I work with people, the first thing they say, oh, I need help with my resume, or I need help with interviewing. And I go, okay, we'll get to that. But let's talk about where do you want to work? Tell me your ideal boss. Tell me the ideal company and why. Because I want them to get into your point, how you got me in touch with my body and what I was carrying, what I was masking, which was a lot of fear and scared and intrepidation of starting all over after a pandemic, or where am I going to go from here? I took that experience and I started working with clients that way and just say, okay, we'll get to the resume and we'll get to, you know, interview prep, but let's talk about what are you aiming for? What's important to you? Where do you want to work? How do you want to work? What perks do you want to have? And I should stop saying perks. It's like, what's the, and I have a piece of work environment, because you have to know what you can tolerate. Because remember, we had Katie on and she talked in listeners, go back to that session on toxicity in the workplace and how there is toxicity in every workplace and how to deal with it and how to rid yourself of it before you go into another work environment. So you're right, Joy. It's the combination of working with you in terms of getting in touch with where we're carrying it, that fear, that doubt, that self-worth, the resentment too. It could be resenting the fact that I can't be who I am and bring who I am to the table and not feeling judged because, oh my God, I mispronounced a word. I can't wear my hair natural. I love braids because I don't want to have to deal with my hair, right? Because it's so easy, but I can't because they're going to look at me differently. That is a lot of unnecessary mental gyrations that people don't understand that can affect job performance. Mm-hmm. It's not that people aren't capable and skilled and can do the work. But when you put all these other, I call hurdles and barriers and hoops and old mindsets and old paradigms in the way that people have to fight through, you lose who you are in the process. But I have hope that this next generation is going to bring their wholeness to the job, their healthy wholeness to the job, and do a great job. Get paid, get promoted, get recognized for what they do, You know me, I'm the eternal optimist of the workplace, because masking and downplaying and having to rebuild your worth or don't feel like you have any worth, it's crazy. We all have worth.
Right. And so it's a matter of plugging into it.
Plugging into it, leaning into it, you know. So our charge really for us who are bosses is to be human bosses. Keep the human in mind. And not to say that the work is not going to get done. You can do both. Because I had somebody, I had to say, nope, you can't take off. As much as you want to right now, we're in the throes of it. We're in the thick of it. But guess what? Here's how I'm going to support you. And then let's reevaluate come next week or the week after. They said, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I think I can get through most of the day if you don't mind if I log off early. See, if you're a human boss, you can have a conversation like that. You can be honest about why you can't do something instead of, I'm the boss. You're going to work, right? No, I know you're tired. And little they know, they're going to get a little gift card to a spa. Because they gave their all, right? And so you want to, a human boss would recognize that and work with them and acknowledge it. You know, everybody, I love Simon Sinek because what he's talking about is practicality. It's humanness. And everybody's going, oh my gosh, he's so brilliant. But can we put these principles in practice? That's where the brilliance will happen. Not what was spoken, but what's been activated. Oh, this has been so good, Joy. I feel charged. I feel charged to continue down the path of making sure that leaders are human bosses, that they focus on inclusion and belonging, that they don't try to mute people's differences or amplify them as their impediments to getting something done, and get out of this whole notion of hiring somebody that's like me. You don't want, I tell people, you don't want everybody on your team like you. You can't have everybody on your team like you. Do you know what your team would look like?
Right.
It would be, it would be full of, I don't know. But all I know is I don't want everybody who work for me or work with me like me. I want you to bring what you can bring to the table. I want you to bring your best thinking to the table, your ideas, and forget the psychological safety. You wouldn't have to use a word like psychological safety if that's what you're starting with anyway. It's just being human and safe and open and honest, right? And respectful. All the things that we grew up learning as children. Interesting, right? And how even appreciate it anymore in the workplace.
Oof. Anymore, right? Right, yeah, we were all taught that, hopefully. Or we need to reteach that.
Hopefully, right?
It's also a cue from nature of biodiversity in planting things, you know? So the beauty of the best organic gardens is that there are all kinds of plants planted next to each other. You don't have a good crop when it's all one seed. Potatoes are not meant to be grown only as potatoes with nothing else in the field. That's why they have to add so many additives to the farming process. So biodiversity from nature is a really important lesson for us as humans to embrace it as our organic gardenness of growth. It's only going to make us better.
Right. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. I did a landscape walk Joy, you know, here, the HOA boards here are interesting, but I did a landscape walk and talk about biodiversity. The gentleman knew so much about plants and he was saying, this plant here grows well with this plant. Oh, whoever did this landscape really knew, you know, that these could live harmoniously. Now, this one you need to get out of here because they're not supposed to be grown here. And I'm like, oh, they're not native to California. So, oh, okay. So we should take lessons from Mother Nature, right? So Joy, as we close, what's one takeaway you want our listeners to have? And you know, we always give them a little to do.
I also want people to visualize. I would love people to visualize, especially if they're thinking about jobs to apply for or jobs that they want to work in or careers they want to move towards or job titles they want to move towards, is visualize how it feels in their body. So I see a lot of people who are in transition. They're contemplating leaving their job because they don't feel accepted, or they're contemplating a job offer and they're trying to see if they want to take it or if they want to negotiate a little more perks for themselves or allowance for themselves. And so my advice always is to check in with your body and see what's happening in your body. Are you feeling those shoulders? Are you feeling the spine? Are you feeling different parts of your body either open or tense up? And really, it's about that one-on-one connection of who you're going to be working with, you know? So it's not just the company, it's about who you're working with. So when you're in those conversations with who you would be working with or your current team, who helps you soften? Who helps you open? And in what projects or tasks or environments have you closed up? And so see if you can, if you are, have to stay in your existing job, see which activities and which people help you soften and open. See if you can spend more time in those or with those people. And then if you're contemplating a new job or career or industry or organization, follow what's happening in your body. I did that for myself when I was getting laid off from advertising, trying to get into a new profession. I followed what my body was leaning towards, what didn't make me feel locked up and nauseous, and what made me feel a little more space so I could breathe, you know? And I think that's a human commonality that we all want, is just a little more space to be ourselves. And so I say, do a little visualization of imagine the job, the people, the environment, the tasks, and see what happens in your body.
Oh, I love that. And then if they do see something or discover something and they want to have an appointment with you, either virtual or in office, where can they find you, Joy?
Yeah, I love it. They can find me at joy-andrews.com. And then they can always find you, Charlene.
They can find me at pushplaycoaching@gmail.com or on Instagram. I'm going to get better on my Instagram page, guys, at pushplaycoaching. But I would tell you, if you can figure that out, if you take the time to do what Joy just said to do, you will always feel in control. Not being controlled externally, but being guided internally to what is right for you, despite what is happening in a company, despite the reputation of a company, you can still thrive if you take the time to do what Joy just recommended. I did, and boy, did it unlock me, Joy. Yes, I jumped back into something I shouldn't be doing, but I did it temporarily. But I still know my calling and my purpose after spending time with Joy and getting healed from the inside out. And so we thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Joy and I can keep going and going. In fact, you know, producer Mike may start recording us after we end the show because we keep the conversation going. But again, if we thank you for listening to the Homework Podcast today. To hear more about us or listen to other episodes, please head over to the Homework website at thehomeworkpod.com. And if you like what you hear, please like us and share it because we have more episodes we want to bring your way. Until next time, this is Charlene with the Homework Podcast.